Good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome aboard Cane Radio's Chip Shots Golf Talk for the next hour. Yours truly has been away for a couple of Mondays, so it's good to be back. Good to be back in Louisiana. I miss the humidity and hot weather. Welcome to Louisiana, to Louisiana golf. That's what we'll be talking about over the next hour or so, golf. Let's thank our sponsors. Certainly want to start out with Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Lafayette. Mr. Lee Tadford, we appreciate your sponsorship of all the high school sports we do here, and football's coming up rapidly. It's hard to believe we're at the end of June already. July 1st is Friday. And wow, football season's another month away. After that, we'll really be talking about football and high school football as well. I'm trying to sell the pocket guide in and about New Iberia. So if you know anybody that wants to help us sponsor and support high school football, tell them to give me a call, and I'll certainly hook them up. And they can do a lot of good in helping us broadcast and sponsor high school football. So thanks, Coca-Cola, Mr. Lee Tadford, for your efforts in doing that as well. Also, golfballs.com, another one of our title sponsors. We certainly appreciate their sponsorship. Located at Arnold Boulevard right there in Lafayette, you can get anything you need in the world of golf right there in their showroom. You can try out their demonstrator clubs with the new equipment that's come out. Head into their simulator and try out the clubs and see if you like them. And why not? Buy a set. Golfballs.com, Arnold Boulevard, Lafayette. And, of course, our local golf clubs, Cane Row, Sugar Oaks, Eagle Ridge, Bellevue, even Atchafalaya, we're supporting and sponsoring. We love golf, so why not support all our golf courses in our area? So Atchafalaya is having Twilight Scrambles on Thursdays. Two-person teams, 5:30 shotgun start, $40 non-members, $30 for Atchafalaya pass holders, and it includes your card, your green fee, your range, your prize money, and food as well. Then at Bellevue, right there in Franklin, their most recent tournaments, they had a dogfight. Cancer tournament that raised funds for a lot of people do that this time of the year, raise funds for charities, and the cancer is probably the number one sponsorship that they try to do for. So, let's see. They had the First National Bank won that tournament. That's Damon Miguez and his company participated and won that tournament. Let's see what else they had here. Bellevue also had a dogfight. Ty Burdett won that at plus +5. And then Hanson Memorial Alumni Golf Tournament was recently held. 34 teams participated in that. And the winners there was Brad Rodrigue, Eddie Bodin, and Mike Zerlot, minus -15. And at Cane Row, a lot of things happening there for sure. Let's start out with that Twilight rates. Tuesday through Thursday after 2 o'clock, $30. Senior rates, 60-plus. You need to be 60-plus years old. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, $38. And then their Wednesday afternoon rate, so this after 12 o'clock, it's only $30. Take advantage of Wednesdays if you have that opportunity to play golf. If you're not a member, you can become a member for only $142 a month. You get all kinds of discounts for 20% off of soft goods, 10% off of hard goods. That's all the time in their pro shop, which I guarantee is well stocked. You can book your tee times way in advance, and that's right now is a big advantage as golf is booming in our area with the relatively nice weather we've had up to this point. It's been dry, and a lot of golfers are playing. The golf course is in great shape, and you need to book a tee time, you can do it well in advance if you're a member. And they chart your handicap, which is a big benefit. If you play in a lot of golf tournaments in and around the area, you get the Louisiana Golf Association handicap system right there at Cane Row. And if you're a member there, you don't pay MGA dues. Their Men's Golf Association recently resurrected. Raymond Bernard is the president of that. So you get to play in their tournaments for free. And speaking of merchandise, they have licensed UL Raging Cajun products in their golf shop, merchandise with the UL logo on it. So if you have a friend or if you are a Raging Cajun and you need something for a friend or a family member or even for yourself, go there to to Cane Row, you'll be surprised at the nice soft goods and products they have with the Raging Cajun logo on them. Let's see, the next MGA event is going to be in association with the 4th of July coming up this Monday, a week from today. Of course, we'll be broadcasting that day as well. Won't take the holiday there because I missed a couple of holidays and want to kind of catch up on the golf world. A lot of stuff going on nationally on golf, and Boxcar and I will be talking about that in the next segment. But for right now, the MGA, the Red, White, and Blue tournament is coming up, sponsored by the MGA. That's going to be Saturday, July 2nd. It's a two-man team. However, you play your own ball out, and they add up the scores to form a team score. And it's a stableford format with points, 1 point for a bogey, you know, the drill there, 2 points for a par, 3 points for a birdie. Entry fee is $35 per man, and the field will be highlighted, flighted, and handicapped. Boxcar, thank you so much. And since Boxcar is in the house, let me turn on his mic and see how his blood pressure is doing today. Or his pulse.
It's doing good.
Got to be doing good. You were a winner this weekend in the...
very unexpected.
It's not the LIV tournament. It's the LLL tournament.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, had a great time as you...
We're talking about the Liam McDuff golf tournament at Cane Row.
Yeah. I think, you know... I'm not exactly sure, but it seems like this year the name was different than last year. You know,
live like Lehman is their motto.
Okay,
but
how you
know,
live in was the kind
how you live in is their quote.
Okay,
and then you know,
yeah,
live like Liam is. I don't know if you saw some of the.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
yeah, had a logo with the right. L, two different kind of ways. It's a pretty cool logo.
Yeah, no, I mean, fantastic. As you said, you know, turnout. I can definitely see a day when they're going to have to, you know, possibly grow this thing to, you know, the fun tournament's great and all, but they could definitely probably fill a morning and afternoon, you know, shotgun more than likely, you know. It was excellent. As you alluded to, the golf course was in great shape. The greens putted excellent. I was... a bit surprised that some of the scores weren't even lower than they were, you know, because there was just no excuses. Fairways were good. The bunkers were excellent. Greens putted good. You know, it was hot.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It definitely was hot. And, you know, Duffy, I talked to McDuff today, as you well know. I was talking with you as I drove up to the bank. And
we
sat down there and chatted and reviewed, you know, in our minds and hearts what went on with the golf tournament. And one of the things was they ran out of water. That's how hot it really
was.
Wow,
really?
Yeah.
Man.
That's a scary situation, you know.
But, yeah, because
they give away water, you know. I mean,
right, and there's no water on the golf course right now.
No,
you know,
that's an issue that I don't think can be resolved. You know, with the course spread out the way it is, getting water in and out would be hard for the staff there, especially the maintenance crew.
It's, oh no, believe me, I went through that when I worked at the wetlands. We had 8 water coolers and. Every night it took the cart staff probably almost an hour and a half, and they'd think 4 of them, you know, just to go pick up the coolers, empty them out, clean them out, refill them, you know, get them ready for the – I mean, it's a arduous task, you know.
Yeah.
And but man, other than, you know, I mean, I'm sorry to hear that for sure. We definitely stocked up on our water before we teed off had a good supply. But a great turnout, just a – incredible to see the community support for that cause. And, you know, I was asked several times about what charities they went to. I just know they go to a bunch of different ones, right?
And Duffy alluded today. I told him that was one of the questions I've been asked quite often, you know, as the tournament progressed. And he's going to make sure that somehow gets promoted, you know, what are the charities. And it's mostly for local youth. So...
Mm-hmm.
You know, high schools and other charities, I'd say from Lafayette to Franklin in our Acadiana area that has benefited from the funds they have raised for that. And, you know, it's a good thing they're doing, and God willing, it'll keep growing.
Absolutely.
so here's the winners.
Yep.
And your name's going to be announced shortly. So in the second flight in the morning, they had morning three-man scramble, afternoon four-man scramble, and it was a more fun type event in the afternoon as they gave you a red blast and throw and all kind of other things that made it fun. And when I read the score, for the afternoon, you're going to be kind of shocked.
I won't be shocked, I promise you.
Okay, well, let me get to that.
I'm going to predict it before you even read it.
I'm not there yet. I'm in the morning round. The second flight, the winner was in the girls' division was Mike Ford, Terry Tozay, and Jason Viator with 60. Second gross went to Casey McGrew, John Lavasseur, and Nathan Gondron. Third gross, Brian Saunier. He's the former UL football player and quarterback. He is. Played for and he played.
He's a physical therapist.
He's a physical therapist now, and he played alongside my my son's brother-in-law, John Bienvenu, and another guy named Cole Thompson. They finished third gross. And then fourth gross, King Tut, not the original King Tut, but our local hero here.
Well, it's a blast from the past. I remember that name from Sugar Oaks years ago, man.
King Tut played alongside Kurt Pellerant and Ken Brown, Dr. Ken Brown. They had 65's scorecard.
I got to tell you a little story real quick about Ken Brown. Because Cody was telling me the story. And believe it or not, we actually saw Dr. Brown before we teed off. And I hadn't seen him in years. Actually, when I was working at the golf shop, he came in a few times. That's the last time I saw him. And Cody was telling me, Cody, that was his dentist when he was a kid. Dr. Brown was a pediatric dentist.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember exactly how old Cody was, but he had gone for a filling or whatever. And he said, man, I'm looking in the waiting room and all these people are just so much younger than I am, And he said, I just don't know, if I should still be coming here or not. And so he said, I went in and Dr. Brown came and, he's just such a pleasant guy, and I knew him since high school. But he said, Cody said, Dr. Brown, I don't know, he said, what age do you normally, stop, coming here? And he said, well, Cody, let me put this to you this way. You and I are the only two in this office that are shaving. I think it's time for you to stop coming here.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Yeah, he's been a longtime friend of my family's as well. His daddy, Dr. Kendall Brown, right there in Jenneret.
So, he had his office right there by the bayou.
Yep. All right, back to the second flight. First net went to Nicholas Bourne, Isaac Thibodeau, and Logan Bork with a 47. Second net. Yours truly, Chip Shots' co-host, Ralph Boxcar Bergeron, along with his son Cody, and Jim Reed, a close friend of ours, shot 50 and won on a scorecard playoff for that.
So, really? I didn't know that part of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I wonder what hole they drew.
13, hole 13. I think your team, my mind was discombobulated, but we went quite a few holes on several teams because there was plenty of ties. I mean,
yeah.
With that many players, 120 players in a tournament, and, you're paying gross in net, and you only have two flights. I say only. I think it's great that they only had two flights. It's you're definitely going to get a lot of ties.
13 is the long par four?
No, short par four.
The short par four. Okay. Yeah, that we went on a little run right there. We birdied three-hole. We birdied 13, 14, and 15 in a row, and then we just didn't convert on the par fives. We only had birdie one of the par fives, which is crazy, because we were right in front of them, all of them in two, and on one of them, and that's the one we birdied. But yeah, that was it was a good hole to draw for sure for us anyway, fortuitous.
Yes, it was. All right, and then in the first flight, which is the lower handicap flight, first gross went to Keith Waldman, Bill Bro, and Glenn Pirro with a 58. They actually tied Rhett Viator, Blake Hoffpower, and Chris Viator. That's a pretty strong team, 58. Third gross, Seth Bro, Austin Menard, and Logan Brennan, 59. They tied with Peter LeBlanc, Asa Tibbs, and John Cole Broussard. Of course, Peter LeBlanc is the outstanding wide receiver for the Cajuns, and Asa Tibbs, former Catholic High star, along with Liam McDuff, the young man who was killed. In the net side, Richie Barham, Chip Domingue, and Richard Benard shot 50. They tied 50 again with Nick Romero, Brooks Lachelet, and Colin Guidry. So they finished second with the scorecard playoff. And here we go to the afternoon round, four-man scramble. Of course, it had all that extra stuff, box score, you know, the throw
and the red blast. And I'm going to say 24, which is 48 gross.
48 gross.
Yeah.
So the team of Bennett Pecco, Mike Arsenault, JT Miguez, and Tristan Elson. Tristan now is a good player. He played golf for the UL Raging Cajuns for Theodore's team.
I remember that
2 years ago, yeah. Right. That, in fact, he's the guy that Jerome did the painting for UL. Jerome Weber did a painting for Theodore and UL, and it was Tristan doing the swing. Right.
Okay.
Score, 46.
Oh, I was close.
I don't think you can do any better than that, can you? I mean,
well,
mathematically.
I mean, that's 26 under par, so that's...
Your math is pristine.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would be, let's see, if you eagled every par 5, so that would be 6 under, and you birdie the other 14, that's 14, that's 20 under, which is what...
So you need
some more eagles in there somewhere. Hole in one. Must have been a hell of a throw they made. Must have thrown it in the cup.
What they did, they must have lined up that throw and relayed it, you know?
My goodness.
They won by 5 strokes over, you know, a team I think is pretty strong. And Craig Lilla, Jamie Parvino of the Parvino family, which are all outstanding golfers, Corey Landry, and Jason Bourque.
And you know what's even more 51. Impressive about that, and I'm not lying, but
somebody else is lying.
No, but those two teams, I can actually believe those scores. You know, there would be if you read some certain names, I would say, oh man, because 4-man scrambles were the death of golf for a long time. You mm-hmm. know, because you would see the same teams win all the time. You know,
right.
And they weren't good golfers. You know, but they would always come in. 16, 17, 8, and they're always the last team to come in. But those two teams, no doubt. I mean, that's legitimate scores. But, man, to win by 6 shots.
Legitimate, I don't know.
I don't.
I don't think a team can score.
A kid who played for Sammy, I do not think he would cheat.
Who?
The kid who played for Sammy. I'm reading Jerome's text right now. The kid who played for Theodore. He's not going to let his team cheat.
Okay.
I mean, that's against the principles of everything Theodore taught them.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm just...
I'm glad to see optimism there.
And I know Craig. And
I don't think they could. Well, yeah, okay. I'm not going to go that far. But okay. And on the net side, Trey Rivette, Cole Thompson, Thor Boudreau, and Cameron DeLome shot 41. They tied Gordy Doyle, Matt Broussard, Greg Spiller, and Zane Kidd. They finished first and second net in that tournament. And so it was a great tournament. On to the Pro-Am that Cane Row had recently. First place winner was Mitch Guillory, David Diggins, Roby Dardon, and Dale Hargrave with plus 14, winning $140, redeemable at golfballs.com. There was a tie for second and winning with a playoff. It's not a scorecard playoff. It's a first player playoff. They go to the A, B, and C, D player on down to see who wins. So the second place team was Ricky Delcombe, Jason Hebert, Glenn Dupuy, and Bruce Wade winning $100. Third place, Ryan Hebert, Joe Bass, James Morse, and Guy Bonner plus 11
that
winning $60.
That can't be right. Book never comes out. That can't be right.
It might be another Ryan Hebert.
Oh,
that,
but it's
that
gotta
Ryan
be.
Didn't play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, low A, B, C, and D player, Chris Viator, Ricky Delcombe, Barry Battaglia, and Lenny Dubois. I got a chance to play with Mr. Lenny, and he played outstanding golf. And they win $30, once again redeemable at golfballs.com. The next Pro-Am switch is supposed to be at Abbeville, but it's going to be at Sugar Oaks on Tuesday and Thursday, July 12th and 14th. You can play either of those days. And thanks to Doug Beard for getting me this info. And at Sugar Oaks, if you're looking for some discount golf, Monday and Tuesday, 9 or 18 holes, only $22. Wednesday, all-day special, $31. And results of that tournaments, Sunday, June 26th, they had a shootout. On the front side, Paul Olivier, Eric Lachelet, and Tommy Frederick, 36 points. Winning the 18 and the back nine was Robert Burton, Ricky Bork, and Ron Finley, 42 points. Winning all the skins was Paul Olivier. That's a pretty good payout there. And then on Wednesday, that Twilight Scramble, June 22nd, Olin Granger and Glenn Dupuy was minus three, beating out Mark Ami and Avia McLaughlin, minus two. And then that Shamble on Friday, June 24th, it's a blind draw. Chris Segura, Greg Dubois, 28 points on the front, and winning the back in the 18th, Ricky Bork and Greg Dubois. And so the skins, Greg Dubois 2, Chris Segura 1, Olin Granger 1, and Ricky Bork 1. And then the Lafayette Senior Men's Golf Association held their most recent activities. Of course, they play twice a month on Tuesdays. The second Tuesday is the out-of-town month, and their road trip was at Coushatta Pines in Kinder. Winning first place was Keith Benoit, Randy Leger. They were plus eight as a team. And then on Tuesday at their home course, May 24th, which is Lafayette Muni, was a blind draw. First place winners, Woody LeMaire, Mel Patin, and Daryl Fournette, plus 15.
I wonder if Woody still wears the knickers.
I think he does, tell you the truth.
He's got to. I mean,
you worked with his brother Clyde over there at the Wetlands, didn't you? Or was Clyde retired by the time you got there?
No, he had moved to Muni by the time I got there.
Oh, okay.
He was working over. He had gotten a promotion, and actually was the they didn't have a pro at Mike had retired Guidry.
Yep.
And so he was actually running the place, and they had offered him the same deal, the pro shop and everything. He didn't want it. He just wanted to.
Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility.
Well, yeah, but it's a lot of money too.
Man his age, your money don't matter.
The snack bar, that, you know. But I had no idea that was his brother, though, you know.
Yeah, Clyde and Woody.
Did not know that.
Yep. All right, I've been gone for a couple of Mondays, so this might be old news, but it's worth reporting. The winner of the 103rd Louisiana State Amateur Golf Tournament was Greg Berthelot. He had won it 11 years previous. In 1992 at Oakbourne Country Club as a 22-year-old, so 11 years later he wins. He was runner-up last year at Squire Creek, and he beat out UL golfer Charlie Flynn of Alexandria. They shot 279, which is 9 under par, and 280, 8 under par, respectively. And then in the Louisiana Women's Golf Association tournament recently held at La Triomphe, the 94th annual Louisiana. It was a medal play qualifying, and then they go into match play with the top 16. Sydney Moss was the champion. She's from Shreveport and Byrd High School graduate. She's going to play golf for Memphis this coming year, and she's also the 2020 Junior Girls champion, and she also qualified for the U.S. Junior Girls USGA tournament. So a lot going on for that girl, Sydney Moss.
Okay, I could be totally mistaken here, but isn't Byrd where Byrd Jones went to high school?
Could be. I know he's from Shreveport, but could be.
Almost positive.
Yeah. Other local girls competing, Dawn Romero, Watson, we know that. Curly Romero's daughter, Dawn, outstanding player, along with Lauren Aye, Larry Aye's daughter, competed in the event but didn't advance. And let's see, coming up in the Louisiana Golf Association is the Boys and Girls Junior Championship at East Ridge Country Club in Shreveport. That's going to be July 6th through 8th.
And, does Drew have any more events on the summer calendar?
Right there. That's
there?
The next one for him.
You heading out there?
That's way up in Shreveport. I doubt it. You know, it's kind of far to travel back and forth.
Yeah.
But Drew did play. I did take him before I went on vacation to Beaver Creek in Zachary, and he finished, I think, seventh there. I couldn't get the scores. And then the following week, he played in one of the biggest tournaments, which was last week, the Future Masters Golf Tournament, Dothan, Alabama, the 73rd annual.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I played in that as a junior myself. So
I think Tiger played in that.
Oh, a lot of great players. I mean, junior golfers went through there in Dothan, Alabama. Drew got a taste of what it's like to play with the big boys.
Really?
He shot 81-78. They have 200 and something players, and he finished like 180. You know, he only beat maybe 30 or 40 players. I say only, but it's a start. He knows what it's going to take now, and if he wants it, he'll get it, you know?
I mean, I'm almost positive, and again, I could be mistaken, but I think that's the one that GF3 had some video on when he played in it, and Tiger was in that tournament.
Could be, they're the same age.
I'm almost positive it was the Future Masters, but it was it's cool to see that, and yeah, you know, but Teddy, all credit to Drew for at least, you know, for competing in these tournaments, you know, because there's a lot, you know, that's, we talked about the you know, the kind of the death of the individual tournaments as far as the older golfers go. Okay, so you have the Louisiana Amateur, the Senior Amateur, a few other events.
Right.
I know Breck is very involved. Oops. In their stuff. I tell you.
They really promote it. You
catch
know,
this
so.
Real quick.
All right, finally, we're going to end up with this former UL golfer, Greg Saunier, assistant at Lake Charles Country Club. He leads the Player of the Year awards for our Gulf States section PGA, and that's Louisiana and Mississippi Golf Pro. So good luck to him as a year winds down, and maybe he'll win that award and bring home the trophy. With that, we'll take a break and be back on the other side talking about some national golf, which we all know, if you follow sports, that all golf's in the scene with that LIV Tour coming up, and it's going to play its first tournament in the United States at Portland, Oregon this week, and a lot of controversy with that. Boxcar and I will be talking about that, so stay tuned.
Hey, guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Tesh Matters, 10-1, on New Iberia's home for the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane, 107.5.
I'm all right, nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be? I'm
all right. And welcome back to Kane Radio's Chip Shot. Teddy Slim with you here alongside Ralph Boxcar Bajero, my co-host. Talking a little golf, and now we turn our attention to the national golf scene. As like I alluded to right before the break, a lot of stuff going on in the world of golf with that LIV, the 54 Saudi Arabia-backed golf league that's trying to make some waves and be in serious competition with the PGA Tour, the European Tour, and, you know, all the other golf tours in general. So that kicks off this week. And Boxcar now, once he gets back into his microphone, he had to step out with a call. But we'll be talking at length about that and discussing the ins and outs and what is our opinions on the LIV Tour and what it's doing for golf. But the Travelers Tournament on the PGA Tour was held this past week in Cromwell, Connecticut. Winner was Xander Schauffele with 19 under par. It didn't come easy as he was a leader all through the tournament. But coming down the stretch there, a guy named Sahif Thigala. I believe he's from Boxcar. I believe he's from India, right? Big black guy.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ted. I was kind of reading the story earlier, and I I know he obviously I heard his interviews, and he spoke great English, so I think he's probably more than likely went to college here and stuff.
But he's never won on the PGA Tour, though. And
no, man,
he tied for second with J.C. Poston, and what a sad finish for him.
Yeah, and it was a bad break. I mean, you know, that's golf. You know, I can't say he choked. I mean, yeah, he pulled his shot on 18, but to end up where now. In retrospect, if he had to do it over again, obviously he would have hit that whatever he hit on his second shot out of the bunker because he had the exact same lie.
But it was his first shot that cost him.
Yeah,
he shouldn't have been hitting a driver. That hole is so short.
But how many times have we seen that, Ted? Where, you know, I mean, yeah, Phil should have been hitting a driver when he lost the U.S. Open. Jean-Claude Vandeville could have hit a putter off the tee and won the Open Championship. You know, I mean, it.
And the heat of it, you just don't think, you know.
Yeah, you don't
think. That's where your caddy, you know, we talk about caddy all the time.
Yeah.
That's where his caddy should have.
And he probably has a real, you know, just kind of knowing his. You know, his status, I doubt if he has an elite caddy.
Right.
You know, it's probably just a buddy of his.
Someone that would really convince him not to hit the driver.
Not to hit that, you know, yeah. Three wood or just something to take that out of play, yeah. But
because if he just pars a hole, which was an easy hole, Xander Schauffele.
He birdied it.
So if he just pars it, he's tied and they go into a playoff. But, hindsight's 20/20, right?
And even if he bogeys it, then that still puts a little more pressure on Schauffele in that, you know, a par would have put him in a playoff, you know.
Right.
So he may not have birdied it if he, you know, that was for the win. You know,
correct.
That was long yap.
A lot of scenarios, I just feel bad for the guy.
No, I do that.
Because I got to watch it, you know, and I don't watch golf that often, but I was babysitting with my grandkids in Thibodeau.
Okay.
And they were making, not fun, but pointing out that every time he would hit a shot that he thought was poor, he'd drop his club.
Oh.
And they showed three or four times how he dropped his club, and the ball would go, you know, half the time the ball would go where he wanted it to go, on the green or whatever.
I have a really good friend who does the same thing.
Yeah, we both do.
And, yep, it
when you think you hit a bad shot, boom, he drops it. Jim does the same thing.
Exactly. You know, I mean, and boy, he had gotten really good at it. For a while, it was really kind of – it was on every shot. But he would gotten to the point where he could catch it with his other hand
behind
his back.
Yeah, he could drop it and catch it.
Yeah.
Like Pete Maravich of golf.
Man, you need to go on the exhibition tour with this thing, man. But, I like to see young guys in the mix, and you know, again, Xander Schauffele's I think a world class.
He's a class player
you know.
Yeah, no question.
So a very worthy winner, but it could have definitely been man. You don't see a whole lot of 3-stroke swings on the final hole of an easy hole.
Right.
Another
storyline was amateur Michael Thornburg. I can't pronounce his last name.
Finished fourth.
He finished fourth. A 20-year-old amateur that's playing college golf. Never won a college golf tournament to finish fourth in a major PGA event. That's phenomenal. Just to show you how. Man, these
fearless,
young players are coming up
fearless,
left and right.
Fearless, Ted.
Yep.
You know, and again, and I could be way off base here, but I just attribute that to the fact that Tiger's not playing anymore, you know, because, man, these kids used to be intimidated, you know, or I say kids. I mean, a lot of golfers were intimidated with Tiger in the field, you know, but
this kid wasn't.
But he – no, I think maybe it's a tribute to that influence, you know, that they all grew up just idolizing him and seeing how he – when Tiger got in contention and could win, he just put the pedal to the metal. I mean, there wasn't any, playing conservatively. I mean, he wanted to win by, you know, 6-8 shots. I mean, it wasn't just to win. He wanted to dominate, you know, so – these kids go flag hunting. They and maybe that's, you know, to the detriment of us, you know, like you said, they need to play more conservatively sometimes, mm-hmm. and learn how to, you know, how to manage their game. But that'll come with time. I mean, these are both young players, and I mean, you know.
Right. Well, this is going to lead us into my next subject, if you don't mind. But Jason Cockrock, he kind of like walked off the golf course. He had his final shot over the gallery and whatever. And they're saying he's going to the LIV tour. So
ridiculous.
That's got to be – we got to talk about that. That's the hot subject right now on golf. You know, it's got golf in the news. I guess it's a negative thing, but nonetheless, it's something we need to talk about. So let's hear your latest on it.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you. The first couple of defections, I'm like, okay, well, you know, Lee Westwood, you know, you're washed up.
Right.
Sergio, you're washed up. Bubba Watson, been kind of irrelevant for a while.
Bubba Watson went?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, when you started seeing some of the
– no wonder Ted Scott dropped out.
I think he did, unless I'm
– I know Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson. But, I mean, Dustin Johnson, Kapitra, I didn't consider to
Bryson
be –
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, DeChambeau. And maybe, I mean, maybe I'm – I could be
Yeah, I don't think
that.
Bubba affected.
But maybe he was offered and turned it down. I don't know. But I definitely know, you know, it – at first I thought, hey, it's not going to be a big deal. Then when you start getting – you know, and again, I know Dustin Johnson is an elite former number one world player, but when you start seeing an Abraham Answer, who I consider to still be an up-and-coming young player, those guys start going, now I'm starting to say, well, this thing has some traction. Is that a call coming in?
Well, it is and it isn't. I hear it ringing, but I don't see the board lighting up, so... I can try to answer it and see what happens.
It's kind of weird. We're on a delay, too.
Yeah, we're on a delay because lightning struck our tower last night. And, we broadcast in, without the Internet, from what I understand. You know, so as a like a 30-second delay. And
it's way off, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of got our microphones up high so that you don't hear 30 seconds.
No, I heard it when I drove up.
Because it's kind of hard to talk and listen
like
to that something that you already said
like
30 seconds ago.
Like that assurance French bread, man. It gets hard. At this point now, is it time to panic? No. But and this is hard for me to even say this. Did Phil and some of the players who had complained that the PGA Tour may not have been, upfront with some of their finances, and all of a sudden now you have this 8 tournament, you know, $20 million per tournament. This seemingly came out of nowhere. It kind of makes you wonder, you know. So I hate it. Don't get me wrong, because I think, and I heard one of the players allude to it too. You know, he said, man, it goes against everything with golf, and I forgot who it was. You know, a shotgun start. You don't know who's, you know, in the U.S. Open, you'd have missed all that great drama coming down the stretch because these guys may well have been on the 13th hole or, you know, 12th hole, whatever.
Well, here's the quote you're talking about. It's from John Rahm. He said, the format is not really appealing to me. Shotgun start, 3 rounds, is not a golf tournament. No cut, that's not a golf tournament. That's simple. I want to play against the best in the world in a format that's been going on for hundreds of years. That's what I want to see. Yeah, money is great, but when wife Kelly, and this is what amazed me, when my wife Kelly, the first thing that happened, she said, we started to talking about it, and we're like, will our lifestyle change if I got $400 million? No, it will not change a bit. Truth be told, I could retire right now with what I've made and live a very happy life. I love that statement, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. I think we might have a phone call on the line. Hello, you're on the air with Chip Shots.
Yeah. Hey, Ted.
Hey, Victor. Wow. A voice out of the past. Been trying to come find you, boy.
Yeah. Talking about, I'm glad to see you made it back from your vacation. Been a few weeks since I had the show.
Yeah, it's been I've missed 2 Mondays and been trying to catch up, trying to help out with the Liam McDuff tournament this weekend and trying to catch up on work. I've been Been running and going. So how's it going?
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
You were talking about that Live tournament. I get them little apps on my phone all the time, and I saw it today. Well, they're not only going after veterans, they're going after top amateurs. They approached that Cootie boy, and he had a long talk with his dad, and they turned it down. But they signed I'm not sure where the kid plays college golf at, but he's a second-rate amateur. He's from Spain. He signed. And then I also saw today where Matthew Wolf is playing next week.
Mm-hmm. Right, yep. Matthew Wolf, as well as Carlos Ortiz, number ranked 179 or 119 in the world. And Matthew Wolf, 77. So, a lot of them defecting. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, the Cootie kid, too, Vic, I got to admire him because, you know, he said, and he, by the way, won on the Corn Ferry Tour this past weekend. He said, you know, I could have signed a very lucrative deal with the Live Tour. They offered me millions. It wouldn't have been some of the ones the others got. But he said, you know, I could have been sitting watching my buddy struggle, you know, trying to win and sitting with millions in the bank. But he said, that's not what my dream is. No. My dream was always to be on the PGA Tour, you know. And I'm glad to see some of these young kids are keeping their sanity now. It's kind of scary when you start hearing guys like even Justin Thomas, who has been a very, you know, outspoken against it, but he said, you know, ultimately everybody has a price, you know, and where that gets to be, who knows, you know. And I think there are some guys that you can't buy, like a Rory, you know, and
right,
and like Teddy said,
right. Like John Rahm.
Golly, you know? How much money do you need at some point? You know, I mean.
So box score. I have a question for both of y'all. Victor, you go first. I don't like box score go second. You know, money's the PGA Tour cannot compete with the Saudi Arabia as far as money's concerned. So, what do you think? And the Saudis cannot make a return on their investment here. That's not their intention. It's impossible. What do you think the motive is for the Saudis trying to do this? You go first, Victor. What do you think that motive is? And by score, you go second.
I mean, it's obviously everything they talk about is sports washing. I mean, you look at it, cause without a TV deal, they're never going to recoup their money, not even going to come close.
But, no.
They're getting more involved with sports, but they talk about sports washing, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, they got the money. I mean, it's a bottomless pit, so... I don't know. I'm waiting for my phone call. I got my brother ready to get there.
You come out of retirement, huh, Vic? For a lot less than that.
Yeah. I hate to say it about that blood money, but they call Vic and Rue. I'll be out there in a minute on the But I think it's sport watching. It's just all a phase. But, I mean, you got that much money, it's all relative. It doesn't matter. And like I said, you can see everybody's got their price, you know, unfortunately. So,
yeah.
I've been reading about the letters, you know, that the players are receiving from, you know, 911, you know, survivors and family survivors. And it's pretty touching. So, I don't know. It's just it's a hard, tough situation. But, and I saw the PGA Tour making some drastic changes. You know, they're getting away from the wraparound. They're going to a special ball, three tournament or something like that, you know, a special money. So, They're trying to figure it out. They're going to fight back, but the PGA Tour is going to survive one way or the other.
I believe so.
Yeah, and ultimately it could well be, and I'm not saying this is exactly what's going to happen, but, you know, and I kind of even wonder what's happening to the what's now called the DP World Tour, used to be the European Tour. Man, they have to really be hanging on by a thread, you know, because,
But they dropped the hammer this week. I mean, they're excluding those out of the Scottish Open and all that. They're not allowing them to not have invitations. They're not going to allow them to play. So they're making a stand, too. So, I'm glad for them.
In my opinion, and I think the Masters is going to do the same thing because, like I was telling Teddy, I mean, you know, we know that. Yeah, the U.S. Open and the Open Championship, I think it just everything happened so fast. It was almost too late for them to ban these players, right? But the Masters, no, they have plenty of time. And I was telling Teddy, according to the golf writer that I saw this report on, the first tournament, the U.S. Open, the first round, Phil shows up on the first tee He's got an Augusta National sweater vest on, but he had sharpied out the logo. Now, I guarantee you, that if that picture got back to Augusta National, not only is he not going to play in this, he'll never play again. I mean, he won't go to the Champions Dinner. I mean, he you know,
oh, no.
That invitation is not going to his, you know, to his house, no. I promise you. But I think, you know, that is one way they can kind of slow it down, at least, if the RNA, the USGA, the Masters all get on the same page and say, you know, you cannot play in these events. It could stop some of the defections. Now, there are some guys that majors don't mean a thing to them. You know, it's all about the money to them. But
it's no doubt about them. Yeah. The exhibition tour, really, if you get down to it, it's all exhibition. I mean, but, shotgun start.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Money.
You know, I mean, the next thing you know, they're going to be selling mulligans, you know, before you tee off.
Yeah.
Okay. But
I have a red flag.
Yeah, red blast, you know.
But that brings me to the other point I have. You know, we're talking about all these players that are defecting. It's basically bottom line 99% because of the money, right? So what if the Saudis say, well, I've changed my mind.
Right.
I don't particularly want to pay you, you know, and we're dropping out. Then what these guys are going to do? You can't have no lawsuit against them for certain, you know. Contracts are invalid with people like that or countries like that. So it's a risky thing, I think, for these players. But
a lot of these new contracts, I mean, they're only doing them for like 3 years. So what happens after 3 years? They say, no, you're not doing us any good. And if you tour, you know, they say, well, no, you're not coming here. So then you lost. What are you going to do?
Right, exactly.
Now, here's a question that I've never gotten an answer to. Is okay. So it's a shotgun start. It's a 48-man field, right? Or is it 54?
48.
Yeah, right.
48, okay. 48-man field. All right, so they're signing all these guys. They're giving them bonuses to sign on, whatever. Some are getting maybe $1 million, some are getting $100 million. Okay, it's all different. But at what point do they sign more than 48 guys, and then who starts getting dropped? I mean, you can't, you know.
Yeah.
Man,
if everybody wants
issue.
To play in the same tournament, would you have a morning and afternoon shotgun start? I mean, you know, I mean, it gets to, you know, some of these ones that are jumping, especially the younger kids, I don't think they're thinking this through in that, you know, again, like you said, now some of the contract, you know, I would think a guy like Dustin Johnson, you know, would have said he wanted his money up front.
Well, that's the question I have. Are they getting their money up front?
Yeah.
Rather than spread it.
Out. Well,
I doubt it.
Yeah, they're prorated.
I don't know about that.
But
we're 10 minutes of drive through. I'm gonna be listening to y'all, but I'm gonna hang up. But anyway, it's just a really interesting topic. You'll be talking about it for a long time to come.
You're right.
Yep.
Hey, come knock on our door, Vic. I think I got some mail for you today, but I want to see you and sit down and talk with you, buddy.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we missed that last time. I had to go had a doctor's appointment. But anyway, we'll get together.
Yeah,
so,
we need
thanks.
To catch up. Thanks for the call.
You know, we got to do one week. We have to broadcast live from Gaydon. Go to his camp. We'll just set up the Marty.
You think going to go that far?
I don't know.
We'll scare all the animals away.
We can try, you know. You know, again, what I would think would be ultimately – you know, maybe both tours would merge, but then I don't think the U.S. wants anything to do with this.
Of course not.
Tour, you know?
No way. That'll never happen.
So
that'll never happen.
I really don't know where everything.
PGA Tour will die before it merges with the Saudi
Arabia.
Where
everything ends, Ted. I mean, you know, it's a.
And I was reading an article about Carrie Webb, you know, 47 years old, Australian. She said Greg Norman was my idol, but ever since, he's always had a vendetta against the PGA Tour, and she said it breaks my heart to see what's happening.
I don't know why. That's what I can't understand.
No, I don't either. The PGA Tour was good to him. I mean, you know, obviously.
The fans adored him. He
was the
lovable loser, so to speak. You know,
and now they're concerned that he tries to do the same thing on the LPGA Tour, which would be even an easier fish to fry. So I don't know, man. This thing.
No, I know.
Victor said, it's going to be interesting to follow.
The LPGA Tour players have already said, hey, you know, because, look, it was a big issue for them, the purses to begin with. And just this past week, they
doubled them. Yeah,
you know. But where does it end? Because at some point, if you start increasing your purse money, then you've got to get more money from your corporate sponsors. Your TV contracts have to go up. You know, I just – it's going to be – it's a hard, you know, issue across the board. And where do they stop? And obviously they have – they really don't – to me it looks like they just want to destroy the PGA Tour model. And that's their
exactly.
goal. You know?
And I don't understand why Phil Mickelson – it has a vendetta himself against the PGA Tour, saying initially he said they're greedy, they're hoarding all this money, I don't know if he's wrong, you know, because now what you and Victor were talking about, they're coming out with more money and changing the format and giving more money away. So I don't know, man. It's just and like I said this morning to Jeff and Tony, I'm a PGA member, so yeah. I'm loyal to the PGA. I love the PGA. I want them to succeed in any way, shape, or fashion because they're promoting the game of golf. And, you know, I just love my association. So I don't know. I'm anxious to see what happens.
What people don't realize, the PGA Tour is so much more than the PGA Tour. It feeds all these junior tours, you mm-hmm. know, the – it grows the game of golf. I mean, it does a lot of the first tee programs.
That's 28,000 members of the PGA throughout the United States.
They're promoting golf
at all levels.
Right. And so if it would just suddenly go away, you know, I mean, it would be devastating for the game of golf, you know. And here's the other thing. I mean, how many tournaments this tour has?
I think 12.
I mean, you know, so –
four in the United States.
So
this week.
If that were to be your dominant tour, what you going to do the rest, you know, 12 weeks? Oh, the players love it because, you know, hey, even the last place guy plays 12 times 120,000. That's $1.4 million he made for coming out last every
week.
Well,
that was one of the complaints, you know. They can get to spend more time with their family on, you know.
And again, you can't argue
with that.
No, so the PGA Tour says, hey, yeah, so let's look at this wraparound, and that's great. You know, they need to – now, it kind of hurts in a way in that when you lose – anytime a city loses a tournament, it's going to be devastating to them.
Imagine
if New Orleans lost that tournament.
Millions of dollars going down the tube.
Absolutely. And not just to charity, but to hotels, to restaurants,
whole cash flow
everything
thing.
Around there. So, no, it's like Vic said, it's not going to go away. The bad thing about it is the PGA Tour is such a year-round thing now. You don't really have that off-season to take a step back and exhale, reformulate your game plan. You know, I do think Jay Monahan's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll figure it out, but it needs to be a collaborative effort. Like I said, the USGA, R&A, PGA Tour, the Masters, they've got to sit down.
And collectively, thank God,
they're the ones who are going to decide whether or not world ranking points can be assigned.
Oh, yeah, because they applied for it.
Right. And if they deny that, then I think that could – slow it down also because now you don't have those automatic berths into the majors, you know. So
right, that would slow down some of the attrition from the younger players.
Right, these older guys,
they like
have
Brooks,
status.
They're just doing it for money.
Oh no, I mean,
no question.
Brooks Koepka, to me now at this point, might be the biggest hypocrite because
he was absolutely
at the U.S. Open.
Like
he was so livid about, you know, oh, we hear to talk about the U.S. Open, not about the live, you know, all this stuff, and then next thing you know. He already had signed the contract. I mean, he didn't just suddenly, you know,
signing a contract is about as useless as me signing a piece of toilet paper.
No, it's ridiculous. And you know,
I'm going to give you a minute, and then we got to hit the road.
Well, I just want to say that Vic had mentioned the Pearson Cootie kid, and congratulations to him for winning on the Korn Ferry Tour. But guess who he finished second? I got to say this because – Jacob Bergeron.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I saw that.
I mean, I got to throw that out there, man.
That's your brother, huh?
Hey, man, this guy's
is he going to share the wealth with you?
He's been getting in these events by Monday qualifying, and he's been shooting some outstanding scores, and he's made the last couple cuts on the Korn Ferry Tour. So hopefully he gets some status, former LSU player there. So
yeah, and send some money home to old Ralph.
And second best Bergeron that I know.
All right, thanks for tuning in. And we got some commercials coming up to end our hour, and then, of course, Louisiana Network News and regular old-time music. Oldies but goodies. Thanks.
Hey, guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways.
And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Road. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Road and enjoy.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
You're listening to KANE 1240 AM and K298 CQ 107.5 FM, New Iberia.
The voice of the Tesh.